Good morning, everybody. Happy Memorial Day weekend. I see that you guys are the sane ones who stay away from the crowds and the crazies on this weekend, as do I. Before we get started, I've got a couple of things that I'd like to address. First of all, I would like to say welcome to Tatum. That is Carly's newborn baby. And congratulations. And she had a little rough go this time, didn't you, Carly? Yeah, so she's doing well. The baby is doing well, which is great. Brandon is still recovering from the birth, but he'll be all right as well. And her name is Tatum, and Paisley has deemed her Tater Tot because she couldn't remember Tatum, so she is Tater Tot. Yes. So at this time, I would like to have, first of all, do we have any veterans in the house today? If you do, if you are a veteran, please raise your hand. And I would like to say thank you for your service. Whenever I see someone at the mall or, well, I don't go to the mall, but at Walmart or just in the field, I always make a point, if they're wearing a hat, a veteran's hat, I always make a point saying thank you. And it goes a long ways. It really does. I'm going to stop talking now. But I'd like to have one of our veterans come up. David, will you come up, please, and share a little bit about
you bet. Can't wait till I get the other knee done. Well, a lot of you don't know me. I'm David. I'm a recovering sinner. And I just want to say thank you. This is a very nice surprise from our pastor, Brother Jim, for asking me this, and I just want to say thank you to all the veterans out there, and also to say thank you to the families, because they give out as much sacrifice as the men and women do that are in uniform. And it's a great pleasure when you thank a veteran. We will always respond basically in our hearts or verbally, thank you back, because it was a pleasure of ours to be able to do that. And so we just say that being a veteran of the United States, it is the greatest country. It's the only country that beat the world and never conquered it.
Yes.
And it's the only one in history. So I just want to say to the other veterans out there, especially the Navy guys.
Uh-oh.
We are the silent service, but there's only two kind of ships in the Navy, submarines and targets. But with that and the honor from Pastor Jim, I'd like to have us bow our hearts and say, Father, we come to you today for a special occasion, which is every day, to honor you and your blessings and your promises. We ask that you will guide us and work on our hearts, how we can be better and how we can serve our country better, as well as our fellow man. We ask that you open the hearts and bless the wisdom of our leaders. Give them the courage and especially the knowledge and the wisdom, yes, to be able to go forward and make this country again great, however it is that includes you. So with that, we know we've already asked, and we always will ask, for the blessings and the comfort and the support for our military and their families. We give you thanks for this. And in Lord, in Yeshua, the sacrifice that you made for our salvation, we ask that your blessings be upon us, and we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I was, before I get started here, just what David was saying reminded me of a video that I watched actually yesterday. a guy had set up on the campus of Harvard, and he was talking to Harvard students, and he asked them what they thought of our country. And everyone that they showed said that they do not like our country. And he says, well, if you could choose where you would go, where would you go? Oh, New Zealand, Australia. And I know Australia is great, but there are a lot of things there that can kill you. And they mentioned all these different places and how bad America was, and we're a fascist nation now, and I don't really think they know what fascism actually means. And then he pulled out a voucher for a one-way ticket. And he says, I have a voucher right here. A one-way ticket. You can go to New Zealand today. Do you want it? Not one of them took it. They said, well, no, my family's here. Well, no, I'm kind of comfortable here. Well, they changed their tune really fast. And it just, you know, that's kind of how I feel. If you don't like it, leave. And there are a lot of videos out there of people who have done so, who are coming back because they're realizing that America is a pretty darn good place to live. Amen? All right, let's get started here. We're going to go with Proverbs Part 2. And Proverbs was written by a few wise men who were not named. There were a couple of other authors of some of these that were named. But the book was written by Solomon and finished by Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. And 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. It says, that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David my father and have made him king in his place, and made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given to you. And I will also give you wealth, possessions, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. Solomon received the bulk of his wisdom and knowledge from God. But he had enough wisdom and knowledge to ask for more. A lot of people that I know have a lot of knowledge, but you look around, there's not a whole lot of wisdom. There's not a whole lot of wisdom. And Solomon was wise enough to go, I need to know how to do this. I need the wisdom to do so. And Solomon's wisdom did not only pertain to godly matters. The wisdom God gave him related to biology, the trees, how the universe was put together, science, all kinds of different things. He was well-versed in all areas. That wisdom also related to how God intended the home, the body, the business, and the community best operate. He gave wisdom on how you should live your lives, how you should be a good neighbor, how you should conduct your home, how you should be in your marriage. So it was a wide spectrum of things that were addressed by Solomon and the authors of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We're going to go backtrack just a little bit. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. The word prudent there in the Hebrew is sakal, and it means to prosper or have success. These are to help you have success in life, to guide you, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple. And the word in the Hebrew is pathi, and it means to be naive or foolish or open-minded or easily persuaded. Those are simple people, and knowledge and discretion to the young. It is a list of things on how we as adults are to live our lives and how we as parents are to teach our children to do the same thing. The problem with the younger generation in general today is that they have not been taught godly things. They have not been taught how to be good participants in civilization. We are taught in America to do whatever it is that you want to do, to believe whatever it is that you want to believe, that your truth is your truth and someone else's truth may be completely different, but their truth is just as valid as your truth. There is only one truth. There is one truth, and it doesn't care whether or not you believe in it. And that truth does not change. No matter what you think, no matter what you say, there is one truth. Period. Amen? All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise." I want to focus on that term parable. It's a term that's not used much unless you do study the scriptures. But Jesus often taught in parables. He taught in parables. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 16, it says, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' And he replied, 'Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them.'" He's talking about the Israelites. He's talking about the Jews. "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah: 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.'" A lot of people that I talk to ask, why do most Jews not believe in Jesus as the Messiah? They have the same scriptures we do. They see the same Old Testament prophecies, the messianic prophecies, and yet they can't see or understand that the Messiah has already come. In fact, when he did show up, they had him crucified. Why? Because God has not given them the ability to understand because their hearts were so calloused against him. He said, "You want to serve other gods? Fine." In Romans chapter 11, verse 8, it says, "As it is written, God gave them," the Jews, "a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see, and ears that could not hear to this very day." That is why they do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, is because they can't recognize him. God has made it impossible Now, that is not a final judgment. God will allow them soon, probably, to be able to see with their eyes and hear with their ears once again. Amen. He will bring them back to himself. Amen? All right, let's move on to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fool in Hebrew is nabal. Now you can use that with some of your friends. Just call them a nabal, and they won't even know that you're attacking them. Nabal means senseless, stupid, wicked, or a vile person. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Fools are so naive and stupid that they don't realize that they're naive and stupid. We have a lot of people in our country who are fools, and they think that they are the wise people. And they live their lives according to their own thinking, according to their own plans, to their own demise. They don't realize. Have any of you ever played poker before? There's a saying. There's a person at the table. There's always what they call a donkey. And a donkey is a person that does not play poker very well and makes foolish choices, foolish bets. And there's a saying that says, if you're sitting at the table playing poker and you're looking around wondering who the donkey is and you don't recognize it, you're the donkey. We have a lot of donkeys in our country. We have a lot of donkeys in our state capitals and White Houses. They don't know they're donkeys, but they are. And we vote. And a lot of us vote for donkeys. And I don't care which way you're voting. I believe that the people, woman or man, who cares? The people who would make the greatest presidents are too smart and too wise to run for president. So what does that leave us with? Donkeys. And it's kind of interesting, and I'm not bashing on anybody, but there's a party, and they're mascot is a donkey. But I'll tell you what, both parties deserve the donkey placard, if you ask me. So I'm not bashing on either one, I'm bashing on both. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. I thought my parents, when I was growing up, were two of the dumbest people I had ever met. They would give me advice, and I just kind of went, I never rolled my eyes, because my dad was 6'4", 275. I rolled my eyes when he couldn't see me rolling my eyes. And that guy, in my eyes, was one of the biggest donkeys. He was a great man, great father, but when it came to giving me advice, he just became dumb until I got a little older. And I got to be about 23 or 24 when my mind, my brain had finally grown to its capacity, which was not very big. But as I got older, I realized my dad and my mom were actually pretty bright. And I looked back, And I wish I had listened to some of their advice, because if I had, I wouldn't have gone through some of the garbage in my life. You see, we, as parents, it is our God-given duty to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord. And sometimes our children don't want to be raised up in the ways of the Lord. And that's where it gets difficult. That's where it gets hard. But I'm telling you, parents, hang in there. Don't give up on your little ones. Because sooner or later, those seeds that you have planted, those seeds that you have watered, they're going to grow. They're going to grow. I don't mean this in a mean way, because we've all been there as teenagers. But there is a symptom that teenagers have, all teenagers have. We've all had it. It's called brain damage. You don't think right. You just don't. And it's true. And some teenagers make wiser decisions than others. I look back at some of the decisions that I made as a teenager, and I go, oh, good Lord. I can't believe I'm still here. One of my prayers that I often pray in my prayer time is, Lord, thank you for protecting me in my stupidity. And I go back and I think about some of the things that I did as a little rascal. Holy smokes. And I didn't want my daughters to go through those things. So what did I do? I gave them advice. Did they accept my advice all the time? No. And that's when you go, Lord, I pray that you would protect my kids in their stupidity. It's a fact. We've all been there. I was dumb as a doorpost. And I don't even know what a doorpost is. But pray for your kids. Have patience with your kids when they don't listen to you. Show them the love that is sometimes hard to do. But ultimately, God gave you the little whippersnappers. And it's your job to raise them up. It is your job to guide them. It is your job to protect them to the best of your ability. And the rest, actually, all of it is in God's hands. But we get very irritated with our kids. We get irritated with our grandkids. And ultimately, God gave them to us as a blessing. And we need to remember that, because that's exactly what they are. They're a blessing. Amen? All right. Proverbs 1 verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 18 and 19 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Talking to your kids about God and his ways should be a daily occurrence. When you go to Walmart, there are opportunities to learn. A lot of opportunities to learn how we are to treat one another in society. I don't understand the parent who's pushing their toddler in the cart, and that toddler is screaming at the top of his lungs, and you can hear him from the far corners of Walmart. And she's ignoring him. That does not compute with me at all. And you can use that opportunity. I use that opportunity to teach my kids how to behave in public. I would ask my girls, what would happen to you if you did that? And they would just shake their head. Oh, no. Correct. Oh, no is correct. But we have the opportunity in everyday life to teach our kids how to behave. We're raising up a generation of unbehaviors. It's amazing watching the behavior of some children. And you know what? It's not their fault. It's the parents' fault. And God bless the single mom who has a deadbeat husband or just skipped town and left her with all of the responsibility. God bless the single moms because they got a tough row to hoe. They have to do what God intended the man to do, as well as be the mom. So God bless you if you're a single mom. When I see them at the store, holy buckets, unpacking all of them, hoping they don't leave one left in the car, just totally frazzled. Those are the people that get my prayers. Lord, I pray for her. And as a man, I can't go over and offer to help. Not anymore. She's struggling, kids running out into the parking lot. But as a man, I can't do that. So those are the people that get my prayers. And I pray for people every day when I go into the store. I pray for people on the road. I curse people on the road. Now, not curse them, but curse them as far as, Lord, you just saw what that guy did. Curse him however you feel appropriate. And I put it in God's hands. Let him have it. Can I tell you? Should I tell the curse, Belinda?
Sure.
Show of hands, do you want to hear my curse story? Oh, how many of you don't want to hear my curse story? Oh. My wife. All right, here we go. Some of you have heard this before, some of you have not. It proves that curses are real. God put it in the Bible. He had two mountains. He said, proclaim the blessings on one mountain over the people and proclaim the curses. If you follow my rules, if you follow my statutes and my commands, then I will bless you. If you do not, you will be cursed. So curses are real. Blessings from God are real. And my sister was in a relationship. Well, she was married to him and had three kids. To a man that was a pathological liar. And we were together. It was the winter time. I think it was probably around Christmas time. And she was telling me, I said, well, where's Knothead? And she said, oh, well, he's babysitting or he's house sitting for his boss. I said, what? Yeah, his boss's mom left town, and so he wanted Don to go over and watch the house for him. I says, well, how long is he going to be gone? Oh, he's going to be about like a week. And I went, so you haven't seen him for, oh, 3 or 4 days now. Well, she lived up in the Ponderosa. And my nephews were talking and saying, "Oh yeah, we met with so and so and her family at the fair." And I said, "What?" And so and so, he works with our dad, or she works with our dad. And I'm thinking, something's not sounding right here. He met up with another woman and her kids at the fair and hung out with, and didn't take my sister, his wife. And I'm thinking, okay, something's not right here. And so I'm asking more questions, and I says, "Well, what's her name?" And this is before you had phones. And, we had phones, but we didn't have cell phones. Still, there were still dinosaurs roaming around. And so I looked up her name in what you young people don't know, but it's called a phone book. It's a big book, a bigger book than this, and it has everybody's name and address and phone number in it. And so I found it. This woman lived up in Ponderosa. And we were going to head home, and I told Belinda, I says, "We're going to take a little tour by this house." And it had been snowing that day, and so we drove up to the Ponderosa. We found it. And there's my brother-in-law in the big picture window with the curtains open at night with his arm around another woman. And they're just watching TV. And his car had been in the driveway for quite some time because there were no tire tracks going into the driveway. And I became angry because of what he was doing to my sister and my niece and nephews. And I didn't think about it. I just blurted out, "Lord, if he's doing something that he's not supposed to be doing, I pray you would curse him in this area." And I didn't say this area. And I drove away. I get a phone call from my sister 3 days later. She says, "Well, yeah, I haven't seen Don for a week, but he just called and said he needs some money." I said, "What does he need money for?" "Well, he went to the doctor, and he has a funny rash down in this area. And the doctor says, you need to take care of that, and you need to get rid of all your underwear." So he said, he said, "I need money to go buy all new underwear." And my sister thought that was strange until I told her what had happened. I did not think about it. I did not bring this up in my head. It just came out. And then God took care of the rest. They're real. To live under God's blessing is a real thing. And to live your life without God's blessing is a real thing. And that's what Proverbs is trying to teach us. Proverbs is trying to say, listen to your mom and dad. Stay away from the rashes. It's a very true story. That woman right there can attest. That's why she did not want me to share that story. All right, here we go. And it's the only time it's ever happened. So just to let you know. But don't make me mad. Just teasing. All right, let's move on, please. Let's move on. Proverbs 1:8-10. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. This is talking about being very careful who you hang out with. I had a friend growing up that I got in more trouble with that kid than I did anybody else. And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of fun. But we got in a lot of trouble as well. We need to be careful who we hang around. You need to know who your kids are hanging around. My daughters were not allowed to go to a friend's house unless I had met the friend and the parents. Because you never know if there's some crazy uncle that lives down in the basement. Know who your kids are hanging out with. If a young man wanted to date my daughters, they had to come and sit down with me first. There was no exceptions. I wanted to know who my daughter was going to be hanging around. I wanted to know about their family. And what's awesome is when Ashley decided that she was very interested in a young man, she called me. She says, "Dad, what do you know about this Andrew Mastronardi? Because I'm very interested in him." And I says, "I don't know, but I'll find out." And she went to East Valley. So one of the first people I called was Roger Williamson, because he knew everybody at East Valley. And I asked Roger, "What do you know about Andrew Mastronardi?" And his response was, "Oh, his parents are great." I didn't ask you that. And it was funny because every person that I called or talked to find out information, "Oh, his parents are great." Well, I've met some great parents who had some kind of not great kids. I want to know about the boy. And some people say, "Well, you were a little too rough on your daughters. You were a little too strict." And my daughters now thank me. They thank me. They were not allowed to go to all the parties. And I'm sure there were some parties that they went to that I was not aware of. But the ones that I was aware of, I wanted to know who was going to be there. Are the parents in the house? What are the parents like? Are the parents supplying them with booze? Because there were a lot of parents who had the mentality of, if my teenage son or daughter is going to get drunk, I want them to do it under my roof. But I'm not even going to go into that one. But we need to know who our kids are hanging around. We need to know what's going on in their lives. And why? Because I know you young people are going, "Why do you need to know? Why do you need to know who I'm hanging out with? Why do you need to know what he does?" Whatever. Because they love you. Your parents love you and they want the best for you. Amen? So, for the young man that goes down the wrong road, or the young woman or adult goes down the wrong road, Proverbs 1:23 says this: "Repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will pour out my thoughts to you, and I will make known to you my teachings." This is for the simple person. This is for the one who they don't think they're the donkey, but they are the donkey. And we can, no matter where we are in our lives, we can always turn to him. He's never so far away that we cannot turn to him. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6-8, It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. God has a way for each and every person here that he wants you to follow, a path. When I was young, I followed my path. I want to do whatever it is that I want to do. And God will allow you to do so. He'll let you go down that path. He'll let you stumble. He'll let you fall. All the time wanting you to turn. To turn around and accept him. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 to 33. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. There's protection there in him. It says that the waywardness of the simple will kill them. How many of you have ever known an alcoholic who perished early in life? We all have. We've all seen people die early because of the decisions that they've made early in their lives. We live in a time now, when I was growing up and a teenager, there was alcohol, weed, and just about, that's about it that we knew. We had a friend that did shrooms. But those three things are nothing compared to what is out there now. One time could kill you. Fentanyl, one time could kill you. Meth, one time could kill you. Back then, you just had to sleep it off. Now, you could go to sleep forever. And it's everywhere. It is everywhere. You can even be at a party where someone has fentanyl, and if you touch it, it could kill you. Not knowing what it is, it can kill you. The decisions we make, no matter how small, affect the rest of our lives. Poor decisions give poor results. Good decisions give good results. And it's up to each and every one of us to make those decisions. But this says here, there are consequences. And sometimes those consequences can end in death. It's sad. It's very, very sad. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 11. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, and discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. I want to talk about the good path in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. It says, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them. And he's talking about the Jews. You did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fall, did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You see, when they were in the wilderness, God was there to guide them. No, none of them had ever been in the wilderness before. Has anybody ever gone into the wilderness to the point where Sometimes you're not quite sure where you're at. I've been there. I get lost in a mall. And I need my wife to guide me out. I've gone hunting with Roger a few times. And he basically used me as the hunting dog. But he says, I'm going to go down to this draw here at the end. I'm going to cut over and da-da-da. And I've been with Larry, too, out in the wilderness. And they know it. And I didn't. And when Roger left me, there was a little sense of panic. What if he's not coming back? I don't know where the car is. It's going to get dark soon. You see, when they were in the wilderness, they had never been there before. But God brought them out and said, I will guide you. I will be a pillar of cloud. I don't know if you've ever been in the hot blazing sun and all of a sudden a cloud covered up the sun and it's like, oh, that's refreshing. God did that for his people. They had never been there. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where they were going to get food. They didn't know where they were going to get water. And God says, just trust me. Just trust me. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm taking you. Pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Pretty cool. The thing is, in order to reap the benefits of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, they had to follow him. If they had wandered off, they did not have the benefits or the blessing of the cloud or the fire anymore. In order to walk in his blessings that he has for each and every person, you need to follow him. You aren't going to get those blessings on the Robert path or the Nathan path or the Belinda path. You get them when you follow him. And I've had so many people come to me for counsel when their lives are just absolutely wrecked. And it's incredible how many times they say, why is God doing this to me? God ain't doing that to you. You're doing that to you. He gives us the choice to either follow him or reject him. And that's the choice that we make, each and every one of us. And we can choose to walk in his blessing, or we can choose to walk without his blessing. As for me and my family, we're going to walk in blessing. And we're going to be there to help out and love on those who have chosen not to walk in God's blessing. Because that's what we're called to do. You see, when God blesses us, it's not just to bless us, it's so that we can bless other people as well. Some people that might really need it. Sometimes I have a hard time with compassion. Some people have come to me and said, I don't understand what's going on. This woman is driving me nuts and da-da-da-da-da. And I had a guy that I worked with. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. Had a guy that I worked with, and he was dating this woman, and she was very difficult, to say the least. And he was miserable while he dated her. He was angry every single day. And they were living together, and then she brought in this friend of her daughter's friend and didn't have anywhere to go, and so she brought him home and gave him a room in the basement, and this was my buddy's house, and come to find out the kid was stealing from him and all this stuff, and he just didn't want to go home. He was so angry, and I would tell him, I says, dude, you got to get out of this relationship. It's poisoning you. It's killing you. and it's making you angry. And all of his friends did not like her as well. And we let him know, it's like, dude, you don't want to go any further down this road. And he ends up marrying her. And I told him, I said, just because you get married doesn't make all the problems go away. They're going to be there when you go home. But now she's going to get half your stuff. And all of his friends, we all tried to talk him out of it. Oh, but I love her. That was his answer. But I love her. But I love her. I went, okay. Went to the wedding, driving up, Belinda and I. And here's the compassion that I have. I said, I'll give this marriage less than a year. 8 months later, he's getting divorced. She's taking his stuff. And as his friend and co-worker, you just be there. Saying, I told you so, ain't going to do any good. It's probably just going to make things worse. But we could see the path that he was going down, and he couldn't. We can't see the path we're going down, but God can. He can let us know when there's trouble ahead. He can let us know who to avoid. He sees everything. And all we got to do is, I have an app on my phone, it's called Waze, W-A-Z-E, and it shows you up-to-date traffic. Well, the other day, Belinda and I were here at the church working, and I checked it before we went home. And there was a wreck right here by the Mission Pool on I-90 heading eastbound. And as I looked on the map, it was red. That means nobody's moving. I was able to see that there was a wreck on the freeway from here, because I couldn't see it if I went outside and looked. But I could see it because that gave me information that I did not have. And I was able to avoid being irritated sitting on the freeway. God does the same thing with us. He'll let us know, you know, you might want to stay away from him. He'll let us know, don't go that way. He'll let us know, go this way. Choose this path. And we can listen or we can reject his advice. But we have to live with the consequences. I did not want my daughters to go down some of the roads that I went down when I was a teenager. Because there was a lot of heartache and a lot of pain on those roads, and I didn't want to see my daughters go through that. So when your mom or your dad tick you off, just know it that they're trying to do their best for you. They've got a few years under their belts. Some of us have a few more years under our belts, but we've been through some things. And we don't want to see the ones that we love go through pain, go through suffering. There's enough pain and suffering in this world without going and looking for it. It's still going to come. It's still going to be there. But if we can avoid some of those bumps in the road, sign me up for that. Amen? Please stand.
What a great reminder on Memorial Day weekend. I think that's something that we tend to forget a lot of things. I mean, quite honestly, if you're going to be honest with yourselves, by the time you get to your car today, are you going to remember even the title of the message? Nobody? Show of hands? You think you'll remember? No. We have this thing, our enemy has this thing, it's like a magnet. It erases your memory, and it's around every door frame, because we're already thinking about what we're going to do next. We're already concerned about what's for lunch, or am I going to get a nap, or tomorrow, do I go to work or not go to work? And if you do go to work, then it's like, what's on the plate? If you're not going to work, then what lake are we going to? See, we get full of things that take our eye off of what we just talked about today. So what do we surround ourselves with? Anybody? Anybody? Good people. We pick our friends. We pick who we hang around. What do we do with our time? We invest it in the kingdom. We are to share the word of God. We are to share the goodness of God. With who? With everybody. Where? When? Okay, we got 12 people that are on track. See, that's the amazing thing, is, you know, our great enemy. He's our great enemy because he's God's great enemy. All he needs is a peace in order for you to have your relationship with God jeopardized. Just a peace. God wants all of you because he says he's a jealous God and he will not share his bride with anyone else. Amen? So take this day, this weekend, and remember what memorial means. It means to remember. We just did a study in youth. I've given a message before, one of my favorites, called Stones. And it's about setting up places to remember what God has done in your life. A memorial, according to the scripture, is a physical thing that reminds you of a spiritual event. Let us be mindful of the message today. Let's live it out. And the only way we're going to live it out is because our mind is on God and his goodness and not on the distractions of this world. Doesn't mean we can't go to the lake. Doesn't mean we can't think about what we're doing if we go to work or what we're having for lunch. But let's keep the main things the main things. God first. These things will fall into place according to his word. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message. We thank you that you are a good and faithful God, that you have been so mindful of us, that you would give us a way out of our sin, out of the penalty of that sin, that we could embrace you again one day, face to face. Father, we thank you for every blessing here. We thank you, Lord, that we are here today, that you enabled New Hope to meet this morning. Father, you are so good to us. We are unworthy, but we are willing. Father, help us to keep our mind on you, to open our hearts to you, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit, that your spirit and our spirit would be as one. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.